Ortiz in the deep right field. Back is Sheffield. We'll see you later tonight. Two out.
This is our fucking city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Only Sox podcast, proudly partnered with Primetime Productions. This is a Red Sox podcast, but we do have some bonus content coming. The first ever guest on the show I am bringing to you. You guys might know him as Kel Dog from the PTP Parlay. He's got the Dog House and the Fraud Watch, but what he also has is a Chicago sports-based show called Windy City Radio. I bring you to the stage, Kellen Sherman. How are you today, Kellen?
Fantastic, my dude. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be on your show. A little upset after yesterday's spiel with the Diamondbacks and the Cubs, but happy to talk some ball, and I'm going to put that behind me for now.
Well, we can put it behind you in a second. We should just – let's just talk about that. Like, it was a whirl of emotions for both of us in terms of our respective teams. I mean, between the Red Sox game, which they were down 5-0, rallied back 6-5, then lost in the extras. That was a whirlwind. You yourself also had one heck of an evening. It looked like all hope was lost in the beginning, and then – chaos broke out and everyone just decided to wake the bats up.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was just ridiculous. Like, it started off with, like, we scored, and then everything came in bunches. It was like Diamondback scored a bunch. We scored a bunch. Nico hit a grand slam. Ian Happ hit a grand slam just out of nowhere. And I was like about to lose my mind because his bat's been quiet all freaking year. And it just went back and forth. And then the bullpen decided to pee down their leg at the end there.
Yeah, I saw it was close, and the pitching actually looked like it was pretty decent. Like, Henry wasn't really striking a lot of guys out, which was fine. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, this is somewhat. And then I just out of nowhere, the bats woke up for the D-backs. I'm like, okay, this might be over. And then I went to sleep. But it's been a heck of a series between two pretty good teams. The biggest killer, though, for the Cubbies, Seiya Suzuki. That stings, man. That really does sting.
It's oh my God, it's sad. Like, the first couple of years he's been in Chicago, like, he's been good. He hasn't really, like, impressed me too much. And then he just started getting really hot this year. And it was really cool to see. And then once it just fell off the wagon and he went in the IL, just disappointing. Like, I was hoping for so much more. Granted, he'll be back soon. I think he's on the, what, 10 day,
I think.
But, like, it's just sad to see there.
Yeah, it's brutal because looking at, like, the lineup, like, he's been pretty much, like, the consistent bat, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know Bellinger, he's having a tough start. But that also is gone for all the Scott Boras guys. I mean, you look around the league, like, Chapman's had a slow start. Snell, he's gotten rock. Jordan Montgomery hasn't even made a start yet, which I think he's gearing towards it, but not good at all, man. So, but the Cubbies are okay. They're third in the Central. I mean, how do you feel so far about the state of the Cubs? 10-7, they're fifth in the National, they're third in the Central. Is it playing out the way you thought? Are you, like, disappointed? Do you wish there could be more? I mean, what do you think so far? It's early, so there's still plenty of time, but
Yeah, there's still plenty of time for the season. I think just because the NL Central is like such a weird division,
it's
anybody's game every single year. And with like the Pirates starting out hot and they're young and they got a talented crew, the Brewers for some reason or another like are good this year too. Just all of this stuff is going to play into a factor of seeing where the Cubs will end up. 10-7, I love it. I knew they were going to like take a step forward, but after like the Dodgers series, which I thought we should have lost at least two games there, maybe even gotten swept. But the fact we took two from them was like beautiful.
That's huge.
It just sent me on an absolute springboard for the future.
Yeah, the NL Central is wild. I think we talked about it on the MLB like preview show. The two Central divisions are just weird wild card divisions. Like you just don't know what you're going to expect. It just is what it is. I am shocked that Cody Bellinger's hitting .182 for like batting average right now. His on base is .286 and he's slugging .318. I don't know his OPS. I'll have to look that up, but that is wild. No stolen bases. Has he hit a home run? Two home runs.
Yeah, one of them was the big like where they were chanting Cody at Wrigley and just it popped off.
Just wild stuff, man. wild stuff. But at least the state of the Cubs is in good hands. Final game of the series with the Diamondbacks today, I believe.
Yes.
How do you feel? You got Brandon Fott going against you.
I like it. I think we got, who do we got? Wicks going.
Yep.
Wicks, he's very talented. I think he can develop into a good starter. He's just not there yet. He keeps putting up, what is that, like 4 point whatever ERA?
Let's see. I got the numbers here. Let's see. Where's Jordan Wicks? No, he's got a 5.68 ERA.
Oh, I'm way
three,
off.
Yeah, he's gone 12. He's gone 12 .2 innings pitched. He's allowed 16 hits, 8 earned runs, 11 runs total. 8 walks. He has not given up a home run.
Which is good. That is
really, really good. He's got 19 strikeouts, which actually leads all starters.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. I do want to touch on real quick with you because I'm very intrigued by this rotation you have. I mean, Shota Imanaga, who ironically the Red Sox were interested in. I'm not really sure what their offer was. I can't really remember, but that was a player that the Red Sox were interested in, and he chose the Cubbies. I got to say, power to him, man. That is a dog. That like he's a guy that you could put out there. He's going to give you innings. He's going to give you quality innings. He's got a 0 ERA in 2 starts. That's impressive. I'm very intrigued, and I've watched his starts. A lot of pop-ups, which is really good. Him too. No earned runs, 1 run, only 2 walks, 16 strikeouts. I mean, power to Shota. Like, is that your ace? Is that your go-to guy? Like, how do you feel about Shota as a Red Sox fan? I mean, as good as the pitching's been for the Red Sox, like, that's definitely an arm you could have used in the lineup for sure. Like, you easily could have used a Shota Imanaga in your lineup. And just how do you feel about him? Like, do you feel confident when he's on the mound?
Oh, yeah. I feel I don't think he's the ace right now, like, with Steele gone, because, like, he's just been dominant. Like, there's no other way to look at it. But with Steele coming back, that's your 1-2 setup right there. Like, when you get into the, like, dog days of summer, when you get into the playoffs, those are the two guys you're going to be calling upon to open up a series like that. And I just think it's a beautiful start, and, like, we're, like, getting something ready there.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the back end of the rotation, it gets kind of a little dicey. Yikes. Especially with old man Hendricks from last night. But, yeah. That was something else.
Yeah, that was bad. That was just bad. I mean, he looked like he was okay to start, and then the wheels just fell off, and there was nothing. That Ben Brown kid, he's a rookie, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's a rookie, but he doesn't look horrible out there.
No, and
I've actually enjoyed watching a lot of the Cubs games, just like for the pitching aspect as well. Like they got some young pitchers that are just fun to watch.
Oh yeah. And, like, Council, like, he's doing a good job, like, working him in there, because I think it was his second start he had some, I can't remember who he had start, but he had Ben come in for four innings, like after like the two through the five, I think. And then the following start, he had him go four innings. So he's not putting him out there for long stints. He's like almost giving him a pitch count every single time, which yeah, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, he's come in two games and like four games and two games started.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's good that you can at least rely on him just as like a young rookie to come in and kind of shut the door. So I it's fun having you on here because I actually like the Cubs. I pay attention to the Cubs and it's fun.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, I've been watching a lot of the games just so I'm prepared to have you on here. Is there anybody you've been super impressed with? Is there anybody that you've been disappointed with in the early goings? Like, what's your, I don't know if I put that question into your show or not. I can't really remember, but now that I have you on here, who's been the most disappointing and who's been just a standout where you're kind of impressed and thrilled?
Ooh. Shota definitely is impressed. This is a wonderful start for him. But Javier Assad, I'm a big Assad fan right now because that kid's been having a solid start to the year. I know he's got like a 2 point whatever ERA so it kind of went up a little bit, but he didn't give up anything against the Rockies. He only gave up two against the Padres. He only gave up two in his last start. He's having trouble going past five innings. But at the same time, like if the run support's there, if the bats can at least give him some kind of support to get into the bullpen, granted bullpen not that great right now, he hasn't been bad for a rookie or for a guy that hasn't really started much. So really, he's the most impressive to me.
It seems like the mantra that it's kind of similar to the Red Sox is you have a lot of young arms in the rotation. And they're doing enough of a job to get the job done, basically, is kind of what I'm getting at here with Brown, Wicks, Assad, like these younger guys that are coming in and still getting the job done.
Yeah, which is nice. So it's like you can almost elevate them and get them to the next step in their career. It's like a good process for them.
Yeah, they rank pretty well in pitching. The only thing that kills them is their ERA. That's really the only standout statistic that's a knock on they sit 20th in overall ERA with 4.39. That's the only thing. Other than that, though, I mean, good for them with the young arms, like and to have this record too, given that I don't know if the run support has necessarily been there.
It's been there per se, because like when you go back to that San Diego game where they lost 9-8, it's been there, but like the bullpen just has been able to hold it for him. Like they sent Jose Quas down to AAA because the guy gave up, I think it was four earned runs in four innings pitch or something stupid. Some like ridiculous number of runs in a small window. And the guy was just not reliable. And he was a big reason that did you see it?
Yeah, that's kind of funny. That's like just going to the Red Sox game last night. That's kind of like how I feel. Like, they were down 5-0 and they kind of shot themselves in the foot. You know, the errors are killing me. Like if I have to sit, I mean, and it's only like 16 games into the season. Like there's still so much baseball left and the errors are already a problem, but they rally back and I'm like sweating bullets every time Kenley Jansen comes out in the 9th inning, every single time. It's just, and last night was a perfect example. He's got a very low ERA. He has not allowed many hits. He is getting the strikeouts. He's also walking a lot of guys. Okay. So you can't really get hit if you're allowing a bunch of people on base by walking them. And that's been the problem. It just sucks because it's like you had that game, which you probably shouldn't have won anyway. And you rallied back in the 6th inning. And then you died in extras and Kenley allowed a run. And it's just like, all right, I'm tired of sweating bullets every time you come out. And it's so hard to like say anything poor about Kenley because he's like 5th in saves all time. And he's been a dominant closer his whole career. But it's just like, dude, like if you're going to be the guy, like I mean, you know, talk about a roller coaster ride. I think I wrote it in one of the articles, and I was just like, man, it's a thrill of a lifetime watching Kenley Jansen pitch this year. Who would have thought?
Now, I did have a question for you in regards to Kenley. Like, this might be a dumb question, but do you think the pitch clock has affected him at all? Because I remember him against the Cubs. He annoyed me to no end with how long he took between pitches. So, like, do you think the change in, like...
Well, he wasn't bad last year. That was the problem. Like, he wasn't really bad last year. And then I remember in spring training, I believe he was dealing with some kind of a back injury.
Mm-hmm.
He had some ailment in spring training that was kind of delaying him, I guess. And then I forget what series it was. It might have been the Angels series in their West Coast trip. He didn't pitch and wasn't available because of his back. I personally, I'm not going to speculate on injuries, but he's got to be dealing with something because there's just no other explanation for it. How he just, and it could be the case too. It's just like the game's caught up to him.
Mm.
It could be that too, but yeah, I mean, pitch clock could be a thing, especially if you are dealing with something and you're just not able to catch your breath and just like really regroup because of the pitch clock.
Mm.
And if you're walking guys and the clock goes down because you have guys on base because of the rules, that could be part of it. It's just, it's a roller coaster ride, man. And it's just like all these years, like they haven't had a closer since Craig Kimbrell, and then they finally get one with Kenley, and it's just now it's like, okay, like what are we doing? if it was up to me, like, I mean, I probably would have just traded him in the offseason, you know, get good value for him. I mean, right now they have Justin Slayton, who's arguably been their best bullpen guy. He can be put in some pretty good high leverage situations. If you got Martin in the eighth and you trust Slayton enough in the ninth, like you got your closer right there. I mean, to blow games in the ninth like that is just tough. It's tough. Like, and that's really a game that they shouldn't have won.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. The state of the Red Sox is just an amazing thing right now, in my opinion.
Yeah. I feel you on that one.
So it's like last year, man. Like, I mean, I don't know how much like attention, like you specifically pay to the Red Sox, and it's easy to like not do as a Cubs fan because they're in different conferences. But
yeah,
like last year was like just the true definition of like a 500 baseball team. Like the highs were high and the lows were low. And when things were good, it felt good. And then when things were bad, they looked horrendous. And that's honestly how I feel right now. I feel like it's just the highs are high and the lows are low, and it just is what it is. And there's like different aspects of the team that some of it, like really no one I think is like talked about nearly enough, but it's been tough. Like there's games where the bats pop off, like against the Angels where Reed Detmer shuts them down and then they come back out and the next day and the bats just crank for home runs. And then there's games where Cutter Crawford against Cleveland the other day, I mean, they were down 2-0, but he put together a quality start, and then the team loses 6-0 because they get no run support. It's like the highs are high and the lows are low with this team, and it just is what it is. It's hard to complain too much because they do have a winning record. It's just amazing the way they're doing it because it's polar opposite of what I expected, at least.
Yeah, I gotcha. So like to kind of go off of your like roller coasters thing, I can't get a lot of Red Sox games down here, but the ones I was getting, and you might hate me for this, was from the Orioles series last week, especially the two at the end of the series. So like the way that was going, would you say that was a good example of how the Red Sox are looking this year as a roller coaster team of sorts, or?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. Like, I mean, so which games did you get? Game like the second and third game, or did you get the whole series?
I think I got the whole series, but I caught the second and the third, like the one
Yeah, I mean, it's part of it. Like you look at that. So you look at that Orioles series, and it's like you don't expect a guy like Brian Bello to go toe to toe with a guy like Corbin Burns. You know, like, and you know what, like, I'm not saying he outdueled him, but he pitched good enough to give the team a chance to win. But when you're facing a guy like Burns, who was as dominant as he was, it just is what it is. The errors was a problem in that game, so that's part of it, which I'll eventually get to once I'm done. And all like, and here was my biggest takeaway from that first game was all four runs that the Orioles scored before they eventually just popped off for three more. They were scored when the Red Sox had two outs and they were all extra base hits. So that was an issue. That's what I got for a takeaway out of that.
Yeah.
Then you just, yeah, game two was the same thing. It was just you're at a high. And then the bullpen died. They had a lead. They should have won the game. And then the bullpen just absolutely died. Uncharacteristically died. Like Chris Martin probably had his most human game as a pitcher for the Red Sox. Like, that's a guy who's been dominant. You can always rely on him. We call him old reliable because he is.
Okay.
But yeah, the bullpen just died. He gave up three earned runs on four hits. It just is what, like, it just, it's like, okay. And that's a game where Cutter Crawford again had a dominant outing and then got nothing to show for it. It's just brutal. And then you get to the Whitlock start in the finale. Sox are up 2-1. Errors are killing this baseball team. It's like, it was frustrating in the beginning, but now it's just like a comedy special. It's just funny. At this point, I can't even get mad at it. Like, I can't even get mad at the fact that they're just giving up runs because of errors. I just can't even get mad about it anymore. Like, Reyes had a ball go between his legs. Hamilton misses the bag on a routine double play that would have got him out of the inning. And then after that double play was missed and they had two outs, the Orioles get on the board. And they hit a two-run home run, and they grab the lead. It just is what it is. Connor Wong tied it. They go to extra innings, and Henderson just opened the floodgates, and it just is what it is. That's one example, yeah. That's about where the highs are high and the lows are low.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, you go to the Angels series, it's like Detmer strikes out seven, and they put up, like, three hits.
Yeah.
And then they just come out swinging the next day and they hit like, I can't remember how many home runs they hit. They just mash the baseball. And it's like when the highs are high, it's great. And the lows are low and it's just so low. But defensively, they are bad, like really bad, like so bad that it's almost frustrating how bad it is. Like I have to pull up these numbers and I just need you to laugh about it with me.
Okay.
And it'll be very, very, very fun. So.
It doesn't sound fun from your voice.
It's not fun at all. So, so in terms of defensive runs saved, the Red Sox sit 20th at -4. That's just one part of it. Then, let's see. This is the fun part. Let's see here. They lead the league in errors with 18, which is one more than the Oakland Athletics, a team that struggles defensively, like mightily. Like, they are not good defensively at all. The Red Sox also lead the league in unearned runs. It's not good. Not good at all.
No.
Not good. And it's like, the context for the numbers is one thing, but it's like when you watch it, it's just, I forget. I think it was the, I really want to say it was in this Guardian series. There was a ball that went past Tristan Casas. And then it went past the second baseman and went to the outfield. So the outfielder, which I believe was Willy Abreu, throws the ball. It bounces off the second baseman and like two more runs score. And I'm like, how does this shit keep happening? Like, how does this shit keep happening? It's like just fundamental defense. Like, that's what it comes down to. It's fundamental defense. And it's just been so bad.
Oh my God.
It's been so bad. And it's just, honestly, there's times where it is genuinely tough to watch.
Oh, I bet.
It's tough to watch. And it's like, and it's every game too. And then when you think, it's good, it just isn't good. Like, when you think they've made a good play, like David Hamilton, like the fan base has crucified that guy. he ended up like making like a double play like the next day. And it was like, all right, cool. Like if we could do this routinely, consistently, this would be great. Nope. That didn't last long.
It just went like, down the crap.
It's just been like brutal, man. Like it, across the board. And the worst part is too, it's like the bats aren't even going. That's the worst part. Like, I think we alluded to it a little bit, like in the beginning, where they pretty much are relying on pitching. Like that's actually what's carried this team. Like if they didn't have pitching and they weren't in games, they'd probably be in much worse position.
Oh yeah.
Cause you've had strong outings from Bayo. You've had Nick Pivetta go toe to toe with George Kirby. You've had Bayo go toe to toe with Burns. You've had good outings from Hauk in some series. You've had good outings from Whitlock. Like, you've gotten the pitching. What you don't have is the batting. That's the problem. Like, they are 21st in slugging, 23rd in on-base percentage, and 24th in batting average. That's not good. That's really not good. And if you take away the runs that they've gotten off home runs, it's probably much worse. That's the sad part. Like Tyler O'Neill has 7 home runs and he has 7 RBIs. He's driven in himself. Oh, scratch that. He has 8 RBIs. He finally drove in somebody other than himself.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like it's been bad, man. Like the bats aren't consistent enough. The defense is abysmal. And your pitching is just giving you a chance. And you can't consistently like tax your bullpen and rely on your pitch. Like you got to get a hit every now and then. It's just been tough, man. It's been a tough, but I can't entirely complain. They're 9-8. They still sit third in the AL East by, I don't know how. I really have no idea how. I really don't know. The Orioles are 11-6. Oh, wait a minute. No, they're last. It looks like they fell to last. StatMuse lied.
StatMuse lied.
Let me see what the they fell to last. So they're 9-9. The Blue Jays are 10-8, Rays are 10-8, Orioles are 11-6, and the Yankees are 12-6. So strong start for the Red Sox. They went 7-3. They came home from their West Coast trip, and they've been 3-7 in their last 10.
Dear Lord.
So alluding to my point, like the highs are high and the lows are low, and that to me is the definition of a 500 team.
Yeah.
That's about what it was last year. They were a 500 baseball team pretty much until September, and then the wheels fell off, and then they just fell out of it because they were in the race until about August. Yeah. They were in the race at the trade deadline, and then they forgot how to play baseball in the month of September, and then that was it. But yeah, so it's been that is basically my whole synopsis of this team so far. The pitching's great, the hitting's inconsistent, and the defense is abysmal, and the injuries keep piling up. Rafael Devers, by the time people listen to this, they might have the news by then. He has imaging done on his knee. He was removed from the game, so that's great. Tyler O'Neill might play tomorrow. He's out. He's in concussion protocol. It's just been brutal. Nick Pivetta, he's playing catch right now, so he's working his way to come back. It's been a tough, tough, tough week.
And
tough week of injuries. It's been like the bad news bug of injuries, and it's just like I just want to watch my baseball team be healthy. That's all I want. That's all I want to do. I just want to watch my team be healthy, and I just want to watch them have fun.
Just a simple one in life. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, I just want to watch them have fun. I want to watch them play. I want them to be happy. Like, Devers was ecstatic after he gave them the lead last night, which was great. But, yeah, if he's out for any extended period of time, this team is in trouble. Because, honestly, they're a 500 team with him. I don't want to know what it looks like without him because you can't keep rolling Bobby Dahl back out at third base. Like, that, he's like 0 for 20 right now with one walk.
And aren't you guys having trouble at short, too? So that just screws your entire left side of the infield, right? Because Story's gone.
I'm finally going to put this out there. This team has been like cursed since Xander Bogaerts left in free agency.
Oh.
So it was, so for me, like, I knew once that Trevor Story contract got signed, that was, I thought that was it. And then they offered Xander a lesser deal than what they offered Trevor Story. And at that point, I'm like, that's it. He's walking. And since he's been gone and Trevor Story has been unhealthy, they've just platooned the shortstop position and it's just never solved itself. They keep just trotting guys out. And it's fine if you want to do that, but that's not sustainable. Yeah. And that's what they've been doing. And it's just, it's just your middle of the infield could have been completely solved. Now, I'm not saying do not give Xander Bogaerts 11 years, $280 million. Don't do that. That's not a good contract. I love Xander. He's one of my favorite Red Sox players of all time, but you do not give him that contract. That's a bad contract. Like, and the Padres moved him to second base. The second year into the contract, he's already at second base.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. So there's that. And it's just like, if you had that, like, Xander can make the routine play. It's just not like, if every time that ball went to him, the ball went to first base. That's it. That's all you need. It was just automatic. It's like watching Dansby Swanson play. The ball goes to Dansby. Dansby gets the ball where it needs to go. Like, it's that simple. It, honest to God, is that simple. But I feel like the Red Sox have been literally, like, just, it's just been brutal since he's walked. And they've just had numerous guys play the position that just can't play the position. Not consistently enough.
Yeah. Now, going off of that Dansby thing, personally, I love the fact that he's automatic at short, but if he could just swing the dang bat, I would be a little more happy with that, especially with the amount of money we're paying him. But that's neither here nor there on that, especially his .222 batting average on the year.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we can get a bat off.
I'm a big Swanson fan though. I like Dansby. Like, I was kind of shocked he signed in Chicago, but then when he came out and like said why, I was like, you know what? That's cool. Yeah. Like, that's really cool. Like, your grandfather, like, has like, he was a Cubs fan and, you know, also a Braves guy. And then his wife plays in sport in Chicago too, right?
I think so.
Soccer, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And I'm just like, you know what? That's cool. Like, there's some, it's like sentimental, you know, and it's good for Dansby. I've always been a big Dansby Swanson guy. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Fun to watch in Atlanta. He's fun to watch in Chicago. Atlanta's actually blacked out in my area.
Mm.
So I can't actually get all the Braves games. But now that he's with Chicago, I'm like, I get every Chicago game. I'm like, let's go.
That's Vince.
I'm like, let's go. So I like the Cubs infield the most. Some very athletic human beings like Nick Horner, very good baseball player.
Oh yeah,
very, very fun to watch defensively. Like, I think it was the Seattle game. I forgot what he did, but it was just unreal. Like, I'm just like, man, he's always in the right position to make a play. It just seems like,
yeah,
and it's fun to watch. And at least you have that middle of the infield locked in for the however many years you do. But I don't know. I like what the Cubbies are building overall. I really do. I mean, I think, like, what the Red Sox are building, it's, like, at least you see some kind of a direction, signing extensions to, like, Rafaela and Bayo. Like, you're at least trying to form this core group that you're going to have for a while. And I feel like the Cubs, they got more veterans, but at least you have, like, a core group that you can kind of continuously build around. And I'm really bummed Justin Steele got hurt, man. That was my Cy Young pick.
That was a kick to the chops there. Like, that was not a fun thing to go through.
To watch. I mean, well, like, I remember watching that. And I was like, oh no. I was like, oh no. I immediately was like, Kellen. I was like, dude.
That was like the whole city of Chicago. Just at a collective, oh no. Just what just happened?
Because, like, I mean, for Boston sports, it's like, the Patriots are at the bottom because, like, their reign of terror is pretty much done. The Red Sox are, as we've discussed, they're towing 500. They may contend for a wild card spot. We don't know. And then you got the Bruins and the Celtics, who are in the playoffs. They just had fantastic seasons. So, like, for the city of Chicago, like, is the Cubs the supreme sport? Because, like, you look at the other side, like the South side, the White Sox are not good.
No.
They've been decimated by injuries. Yeah. The Blackhawks, for hockey fans out there, they are a lottery team. That they have Connor Bedard, but they are a lottery team. Yeah. I don't know much. Like, I don't pay too much attention to basketball, a little bit because of Marty. Shout out Marty the Meat Man. Shout out Cross Court Coverage. But, like, are the Cubs the supreme sport for Chicago right now? Like, is that the team to go to? I mean, I know I'm forgetting the Bears, but
in terms of being good, yes, because I can't think of anybody else who's, like, good right now. Like, the Bulls, they're in the playoffs, and I have no faith in them in the playoffs coming up. The Bears, everybody rallies around them because there's two baseball teams in town. But, again, they have the number one draft pick. They're rebuilding right now. So, in terms of good, yes, the Cubs. In terms of future looking down the road, like, you can probably say that, like, the Bears, Blackhawks, Cubs are right near the top based on, like, how much they're building, how much they have around them. But ready to win now, I would say the Cubs are up there.
I like that. Wrigley's such a cool place too. It's like Fenway. It's that old school vintage ballpark. Got the vines on the back wall, and
oh yeah,
you know that place goes electric. I mean, go to Giordano's when you're done,
or just any of the bars around there. It's just electric time down there.
When I was in Chicago years ago. Oh my god, it was like Chris Bryant and like Javi Baez were still on the team. Like, that's how long ago I was in there. But I did go to the Giordano's right by Wrigley, so that was fun.
Interesting
times for Chicago sports. Interesting times. I didn't even know the Bulls were in the playoffs. That's how much I don't pay attention to basketball.
It's well, everybody and their grandmother makes it in the playoffs for basketball.
And I'm hoping they don't do that for hockey. I know people have like called about it. I'm like, stop getting more teams that don't deserve to be in the playoffs in the playoffs.
Yes.
That's like last night. Like, I mean, not to go super off topic, but like the Washington Capitals made the playoffs and they have a negative 37 goal differential. I even put it on Twitter. Like, if somebody can explain it to me, like, how the hell did that team make the playoffs? Like, that's all I want to know. Just how
they just squeaked
like,
in.
How
there.
Did they do it? How did they like magically pull that out? Like, because even their analytics don't make any sense.
Yeah,
like nothing makes sense. I'm like, okay, this team is bottom of the barrel almost in like every category, but they got it. I was like, I don't know how. It is what it is. That's chaos for you, but
Yeah.
Well, speaking of having good old Cubbies and good old Sox talk, they get to play a series.
Yes. Yes, they do.
At Fenway Park next Friday.
Yes. Yes, they do.
A three-gamer at Fenway. What are you looking for the Cubs to take a series against the Red Sox?
From what you told me, what you've been telling me, the bats just need to be electric. They need to be up and ready to go. And pitching really, well, besides the bullpen, starters just need to do their thing. If the starters do their thing, bullpen is serviceable, if anything, and we get the run support, I think Cubs have a good series on their hands.
Yeah, shockingly enough, the Red Sox strike out a ton. They strike out a lot. And I think if like you get a good pitching on the mound, like I don't know who will start by that point, but it's like if you're facing like if you're the Red Sox and you're facing Imanaga, Brown, and Wicks, you better be prepared to play, and you better have the bats ready because those are at least three guys that can at least get the job done. Now I will say too, if the Red Sox get to where they face the bullpen and they do get some hits, it could make things a little interesting.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a good pitching matchup, good pitching duel.
Mm.
But yeah, for the Red Sox, they definitely need to get the bats going a little more consistently, especially if you're going to be facing those guys, especially Shota. Oh, yeah. Like he's almost untouchable right now.
Which is insane. And then like going back to like that Dodgers game too that he was in, I really wish there was no rain there because he only went four innings. That would have been cool to see him go at least six.
Yeah, I watched him in the Mariners series. Now, granted, the Mariners bats are not that great. They strike out a shit ton. That was a problem for them entering the season and has now become somewhat of a problem like in the season. Yeah. But that was a really like decent quality start. Now I was sweating the strikeouts, but it was fun to watch. I'm like he just pitches well and he doesn't allow a lot of hard contact, it seems, and gets the job done. And if you're the Red Sox with how you've performed at the plate against some of these pitchers, like you got to be ready for Shota because he will find a way to get you out. And he's shown he can do it.
Yeah.
You got any bold picks? You want to make a little prediction?
So I was looking, so to kind of go off of that, I was looking at the schedule and they had a few of the problems up.
Ooh.
So it looks like according to ESPN, you guys should have Cutter on the first day, but okay. we're undecided. And then second,
it'll be Whitlock. It'll be Cutter, Whitlock, Hauk then.
Cutter, Whitlock. Oh, okay. That makes sense. So then Whitlock, and they don't have anything for the third.
So because today, let's see. I'm going to go to the schedule real quick because, all right, let's see here. Because that probably checks out. So you have today, you have Hauk. Tomorrow, I think, is Criswell. Then you have Bayo. No idea who's in the second spot. I guess, Yeah, so Hauk, then Bayo, Criswell, Crawford, Whitlock, Hauk, Bayo. Yep, that checks out. Yep, yeah, that sounds about right. You're looking at Cutter, you're looking at Whitlock, you're looking at Hauk.
Ooh. So,
and one of them is the Sunday night game.
That could be a fun one.
That is a Sunday night. 28th is a Sunday night game. 7-10.
That's the primetime, right? ESPN?
That is the ESPN primetime game.
Let's go.
That's a good one. That's nice they did that.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice they did that. Yeah, ooh, so now that I have the pitching matchups, so who's going for the Cubs?
So looks like you got Hendricks on the second day. That's not going to be fun.
That's not going to be fun.
I think you got to have at least Shota one of those days if I have my numbers right. Let me see here. Amanaga goes that. No, you won't have Shota.
Oh, what a blessing.
Because they got Shota going Wednesday.
That sucks. Oh, that's a blessing for the Red Sox then.
So you're probably going to have. Who are you going to have? You probably got Brown, Hendricks, and Wicks going in those three.
Yeah, but even then, that's still like pretty. Honestly, I think it's going to be. I think it sounds cliche. It's like in hockey, like where it's like it's going to come down to the goaltending. It's like, nah, like I think this is going to come down to like the pitching. If a starter gets a jump on another starter and, you know, this like you got a starter falling behind because, you know, the bats are cranking and the other starter is just delivering. Like, I think that can almost like be the ball game essentially.
Yeah.
Ooh, what kind of early pick do I want to do?
I think
the Red Sox are going to win the Kendricks start.
The Hendricks one? Yeah,
I think the Brown and the Cutter start could be really interesting. I think the Red Sox take – I'm going to say – not trying to be biased. I think I'm going to say Red Sox 2-1.
2-1? Two.
Yep, I think they take the series 2-1. Okay. I think they definitely win the Hendricks start. Yeah. I think the Cutter start on that Friday can go either way, depending who the pitcher is for Chicago. And I think they take the Sunday one with Tanner Houck on the mound. What do you got?
I like that. I'll give you the Hendricks one just because, like
he looks like
He
just it looked bad. Like, even Wicks didn't look bad in that Seattle game, and then he threw like 40 pitches, and I'm like, okay, he's like just done.
Yeah,
the command was all over the place. I'm like, okay, just get this guy out and just pull him now before it becomes a problem.
Exactly. And it's just like with Hendricks, they just keep trotting him out there with his walker and everything. I'm like, let's send this guy back to the old folks home. I'm done just seeing him out there. And like, I'll give you that Hendricks one any day of the week.
Oh yeah.
Brown, I wonder if, like, I don't think this will happen. It'd be cool if like they switched him to the end instead of against Cutter, just because as like a rookie, like, I'd rather him not go against Cutter being like, one of the best pitchers.
Kellen is lost.
I'm lost?
Oh, no, I can hear you. I just can't see you. No, there you are.
Oh.
The screen went blank. I was like, uh-oh. So what were you saying? I think it might have cut.
Oh, I was saying I wish they put Brown on the end of the series instead of against Cutter, because it'd be nice to not have him go against your top pitcher in that situation. But that'd be a very interesting game, seeing him go against Cutter like that. I don't want to say that you're right, but if Brown doesn't come in with what he needs and those bats are dead, you might be right. I'm not going to lie.
That's kind of how I feel too. Like, and it's just, and I think, and it goes both ways. I think it goes both ways. I think it's like if Tanner Houck comes out and has like a outing like he did against the Angels, where he allowed 12 hits. Hmm. Now, granted, there were errors in the field and it was just a game to forget, but that was not a very strong outing for him. Like, 12 hits is just brutal. Like, yeah. there was just nothing there.
Yeah.
I think it goes the same way. I'm just very intrigued. Like, two vintage, old school, historic teams. Like, it's a fun series to gear up for.
Oh yeah, especially in Fenway.
Especially in Fenway. I like when they go to Wrigley too. Are they going to Wrigley this year?
I don't think so. Will they show that to me?
I wonder if I can look that far. I can look. Let's see. Chicago Cubbies. They are.
Because didn't they change that where it's like they play?
It doesn't look like they're going to Chicago. No, according to my schedule, it does not look like they're going to. They are going to Chicago to play the White Sox, but they're not going to Chicago to play the Cubs.
Yeah,
so this is the only series of the year.
Well, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's going to be a doozy. That's going to be a doozy. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited. I like watching the Cubs. And you want to have some little fun? Like, who's going deep that series? Call your shot. Let's do a little call your shot action. Who's going yard?
God, who could go yard in that game? Michael Busch has been red hot.
Yes, he has.
He didn't go yard yesterday, and I bet on him like an idiot. But I could see Busch, especially with the short wall in right, because he's a lefty. Belly could go. Morel. See, you guys got the green monster. I think I'm taking too much of that into account for righties. So I would go with Busch or Belly, to be honest.
Ooh, those are good picks. I like those picks.
Thank you. What about you?
A belly bomb at Fenway would, I mean, it wouldn't like, I mean, I don't know if I'd like it depending on the circumstance, but I'd like to see it because, like, Bellinger has, like, arguably, like, one of the prettiest swings in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
He, the way he looks like he just flicks it and it just, like, goes. I'm like, how did you do that? I've always been a Bellinger fan. It just kind of sucks that his career just took kind of like a swan dive after he won that MVP.
Oh, yeah.
That MVP was so much fun between him and Yelich, and it just kind of sucks it hasn't been the same since. But for me, I think I'm going to go with the Tristan Casas homer. I think that is the not the safe pick, but I can say it. Okay. He's been heating up in the month of April, so I think he ends the month strong.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, man, that was fun.
Heck yeah.
I had a blast. It's always good to talk Cubbies. We'll definitely have to get you on again, and we can like recap the series and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I'd be down for that.
Do you consistently, like, have Wednesdays, like, at this time, too?
Yeah.
Oh, then we'll do, gosh, we'll do the, do May the 1st.
May the 1st? I could do that.
We'll do May the 1st around the same time. We'll just recap the Cubby series a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Just kind of talk about how the highs and the lows and how we feel and all that fun stuff, which is great because then they the Red Sox jump into a series with the Giants, so that'll be fun.
Oh, that'll be a blast.
Yeah, that'll suck. if they're without Rafael Devers for an extended period of time, my pick for this Cubs series could go south very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So let's absolutely hope not. Do you want to go ahead and just kind of, you know, the floor is yours to, you know, little red carpet exit. Just tell people what they can look out for yourself, like, you know, where they can find you, you know, your shows. Just go ahead and plug away and then we'll just kind of get you out of here and you can, you know, go enjoy your happy Wednesday.
Hell yeah. Thank you, sir. So as Tommy said at the top of the show, I'm the host of Windy City Radio here at Primetime Productions. You can find the show at Windy City Radio _. Make sure you remember the _. You can find me at K Sherman Sports on X/Twitter, whatever you call it. We put out episodes every Wednesday. We actually just put out an episode. I don't know when this will be.
Today. I saw it on Spotify. It came up today.
Yeah, today. So we just put one out today. That was a fun one to record. And go check it out. It's an absolute great time. And I was happy to be on. Thank you, Tommy, for inviting me. Oh, I don't know if all that went through then.
Episode has been dropped on Spotify.
Yes.
So people, please go listen to that. It covers everything Chicago sports. It's very fun. Are you solo on that or do you have a co-host?
I am solo on that.
And as a solo person, he does a tremendous job. I have listened to the episode, so I'm not just saying that because he's here. I'm saying that because he does a good job and he's very energetic about it.
Well, so thank you.
I give anybody credit that I can do a podcast solo.
And a lot of it's just me just spewing whatever into this microphone here.
Just the word vomit on the microphone. You got to love it. Did you miss that?
Did I miss?
I just said it's just a bunch of word vomit through the microphone, man.
Oh yeah,
and
absolutely.
Works, and it works. Great. But yeah, so I mean that'll wrap this up. This is just good bonus content for your Red Sox listeners as you wait for our actual recorded day. Make sure to check out Windy City Radio. Also make sure to check out, we will be having an MLB live show. Just the PTP baseball hour, where Kellen is actually on that. So just if you like your baseball talk, just make sure to check into that. Eventually an announcement will come. So looking forward to that. Kellen, is there anything else you got?
No, that is it. Thank you for having me on, dude.
Oh yeah. I'm looking forward to this Cubs series now, and then we get to dive in and talk about it a little bit.
Hell yeah.
Well, enjoy your Wednesday, everybody listening. Kellen, enjoy your Wednesday, and we will see you Monday because that is recording day, and the episode will drop Tuesday. This episode should drop tomorrow.
Heck yeah.
So everybody stay tuned, and go Red Sox.
Just waking up in the morning, gotta thank God. I don't know, but today seems kind of odd. No barking from the dog, no small. And mama cooked the breakfast with no hog. I got my grub on, but didn't dig out. Finally got a call from a girl I wanna dig out.